Grade 7 Conference, Lecture 14, Language Arts 2. Let's speak about some of the mechanics of work with composition in Grade 7. Now, there are many, many schools of thought about, you know, how to get young people, especially pubescent and adolescent children, to be eager writers. I don't know that any one of these paths is preferable to any of the others. It's not easy. It's going to take work. It's going to take concentration and focus. And you have to be actively involved in it. Some schools of thought are that the child writes a first draft and it's passed around the room and other people, you know, peer correction and peer comments. And number one, that's time consuming, and you don't have a lot of time in the upper grades. And number two, the idea that adolescents can be good, careful, intelligent critics of one another's work, I would say is wishful thinking. They can have enthusiasm, they can lavish praise, that's great. But the teacher really has to be there as the final judge, the final arbiter of the quality of that composition. I'm a published writer myself, and I'll spend 2 or 3 or 4 years working on a book. And then it goes to an editor, and for the next 6 months, I'm in endless dialogue and quarreling with that editor, who is just taking the most cherished things that I've written, you know, my writing, my style, my way of expressing myself, and tearing it to pieces, and saying this is not good grammar, and this is incomprehensible. Writing has editing to it. That's a very important quality. And on the whole, the editor should be somebody other than the writer, and it should be somebody removed, older than the writer, perhaps, or someone who is really doing this in a far more objective way than peers could do it. So I would say that your editorial judgments are important, that even at this point, in 7th grade and 8th grade, right up to those graduation speeches, nothing that the students have written is just their own. It's a collaboration with the teacher. In some cases, you only need the lightest touch in making change suggestions. In other cases, you've got to go over a piece again and again and really help that child turn it into something that's worth reading. This is really, really critical. You know, you can't be too nice when it comes to helping children express themselves. This is a matter of life or death. It's a matter of what their career will be later on. It's a matter of, you know, how they're going to be able to handle themselves in a barroom brawl or on the battlefield, in the corporate boardroom, or if you want to imagine the worst possible scenario, when they are themselves teachers, be it in a Waldorf school or in a university. You want them to be able to express themselves well. And writing has always served as the handmaiden of speech in this respect. Journaling. The feeling that if children write something every day, that they just get comfortable with writing, like the diarists who began to arise at the time of the late Renaissance and the Reformation in particular. It's good practice, and it gets them up on their feet, perhaps sharing here and there. If you can do the journaling in an incredibly disciplined way, which is to say, correcting everything that's written right after it's written, when the impression is still fresh and the student still can recall what she meant to say, even though she perhaps wasn't quite able to say it, then it can have a beneficial effect. if the children are just writing stuff and you collect it once a week and give it a light touch over, or maybe it's a busy week for you and all you can do is sort of register that you read it and you didn't have the time to correct it, that is already weakening the premise on which that journaling is being done, that it's giving them practice in good writing. And if you are just letting them write for the sake of writing and not looking at it at all because that journal is something sacrosanct, it's their diary, it's theirs, and I've seen classrooms where this is the attitude, then once again, it's, you know, nice for them to be keeping a diary, but it is of zero pedagogical value. So journaling would have to be used in a very specific way. It would be essentially writing short compositions. Maybe you just have them then write short compositions on whatever they've learned in main lesson two or three times a week if you want to work at it that way. There again, if you are involved, if you are a central figure in that, then these things can have value. But I want to give you another suggestion, and this is the way that I would work at it. When the children were taking a humanities subject, such as history or geography, and natural science would fit under this category as well for purposes of composition, they would write one composition a week. I would assign it on usually Tuesday, and it would be based on subject matter that they had learned on Monday, Tuesday, and it would also include what they were going to learn on Wednesday. So they already knew that what the composition topic was going to be, even if they didn't have all of the subject matter that they needed. It was due on Friday morning, beginning of main lesson. That's when they were meant to hand it in. That way I could take their compositions home with me that weekend and correct them. Now, I'm talking about a class that was rarely less than 30 students and went up to 34 at a maximum. That's a lot of compositions. It's a lot of pages when you get to seventh grade, where the girls in particular might be writing 15 to 20 pages, double-spaced, but that's still a lot of writing. The boys, much less. But it was a lot. So it meant that I had to have time carved out. I had to be ready to do a whole lot of reading and a whole lot of correcting at that time. You will see some of these compositions in the slideshows because I not only show all of the pretty pictures, but I think it's good to see the compositions that they wrote as well. And you will see, I'm sorry to tell you, spelling errors that I didn't catch. I don't think you'll see too many grammatical errors. I was better at catching those. But I'm astonished. I'm embarrassed. I'm mortified at what got through in their second or sometimes even third draft, and that I had the temerity to copy and digitize without even noticing there was a gross misspelling or two on one page. So this is hard work, and it takes a whole lot of focus. But there again, if you want them to be writing well, that's the kind of energy that you're going to have to dedicate to this. Now, when it came to science, I'll talk more about that when I talk about the science classes, but you'll see I worked at that in a very different way, and that's expository writing. Not that it's not beautiful and grammatical, but it has a different role, no less important. It's also connected with the objectification of the emotions, but now it's coming from outside in rather than inside out. So one wants to work on it in a different way. So what happened was that the students were given usually the same topic, But it might be, for example, if it was to write about Michelangelo, everybody would have to write about his boyhood and his time in the quarries. Then there was a choice. Do you want to start with his living with the Medicis and the Platonic Academy? Would you rather talk about his first efforts in working on the David sculpture? Would you rather dedicate a little bit of time to something earlier, but spend more time on the Sistine Chapel? So they had a variety of choices that they could make, sort of the same beginning, the same ending, but the middle, there was a lot of leverage and leeway there. And in this way, we're setting them on a course. You may have already been doing this in grade six, in which there's a nice interplay between what everybody is doing and what they are individualizing on their own. I would encourage them to get started on the composition at the end of Tuesday's main lesson or in an extra main time that we had, especially the boys, the slower writers. I wanted to prime the pump if I could. I would also have students who were good writers, strong writers, who, as they said, I wrote that composition on the bus, but it was excellent anyway. I'd have them sit with the slower writers. By seventh grade, you hope that you've cultivated a peer support culture in the class, that boys see no reason not to sit with a girl who's very creative and very enthusiastic in her writing and to get inspired by her, or to ask one of the rare but nonetheless existent boys who are good at writing to sit with them and help them out. I completely encourage that, and I even encourage them to call each other during the week and, you know, get ideas from one another. Obviously, if they're all coming back writing the same composition, I will notice that, and they're well aware of that. So I think that that's important, that the composition not be done completely at home, but that you set time aside where students can begin with you present to get a feeling for this. I also encouraged parents to be part of this process where they were needed, and year by year, and certainly even month by month in seventh grade, the parental presence was less necessary. But once again, with the boys, so that they could see for themselves where those blockages were, you know, what it was that was keeping their son from just getting started and getting going with his writing. And what they handed in on Friday was double-spaced and written in as nicely as they could. I had them do it on loose sheets of paper. Sometimes I had them do it in, you know, one of those little notebooks with lined paper. Both of them have their advantages and disadvantages. You know, things get lost, things get misplaced. It's a little harder for dogs to eat whole notebooks than it is for them to eat individual pieces of paper. I don't know that that sort of thing is so altogether important. I know that a lot of schools now are working with the Z-Plan or Z-Path, in which you have these binders and all of the homework things are laid out very nicely. And if you find that that's advantageous and helps the children be better organized, that's fine as well. In terms of compositions not appearing, okay, this is really, really serious. And I, as many of you know, I'm not a homework fan. But if something is assigned and the compositions were sort of half homework and half schoolwork, work that is done in school, if something's assigned, you have to be draconian. You've got to be absolutely unforgiving about it coming in. So if they didn't get it in Friday morning, then they spent the rest of the day, whenever they had a free moment, going as far as they could with the composition. And it was due then Saturday morning. They had to appear at my house with that composition or else. So you've really got to be very, very strict about that, because that's something else. You only have a couple of years left with them, and hopefully you're sending them out into the secondary school world with a measure of self-discipline. Go on with this in the next lecture.